York Theatre Royal podcast.
This is a special series of episodes live from the Edinburgh Fringe.
Well, I mean, we're live.
You're listening to this once we've got around to editing it all. In this episode, we talked to Richard and Em from Mr. Men and Little Miss live on stage.
We did this interview underneath the big purple cow at Underbelly in the lovely exclusive cafe bar.
Because that's what a media pass gets you these days.
But apologies for any noise. I think a plane came over at one point, but hope you enjoy.
So now we're joined by Richard from the cast of Mr. Men and Little Miss live on stage. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, that's quite all right.
Thank you for coming.
Do you want to just sort of introduce yourself, tell us a bit about you?
Sure. So I'm Richard Lowndes, and I play along with three other actors, puppeteers, singers, you name it, we do it. We are the cast of Mr. Men and Little Miss and on stage, and we make up Happy Land. And... It's a fun, wonderful, bright, poppy show of with puppets. The same folks who make the puppets for Avenue Q are our makers for puppets. Very different
very
show.
Different show.
Very different show. It is very much clean and bright for children. But they're still very wonderful interactive puppets that we sort of work adjacent to. You are the character, they are the character, and together you tell the story.
Yeah.
It's Cellar Door.
Yeah.
So it's a big old tour, and we start here at the Fringe, and we've been having a lot of fun in the Cow at 11 a.m. every morning.
So you play quite a few characters, but which ones do you...
So I play Walter the Worm.
Can you do all the voices as well?
Hello and welcome to Happy Land. See, that's Walter. Yeah. Very much, I was just literally thinking, what is the stereotypical voice of someone maybe from an 80s cartoon who starts the narration?
Yeah.
And particularly if he's little as well. So I thought, like, Walter is sort of, he's small, he's a worm, he comes out of the little gap. So he's got to have a sort of compressed voice. But he's a wonderful interactive hand puppet, and he's my main character, and and I do him and
Mr. Tall, he turned into the old school lover, Mr. Tall. he's always being asked for favours and things like that. Of course, until no, I can't anymore, that kind of thing. And then I am the left hand of Mr. Tickle.
Very, very important hand.
Absolutely.
Is his right hand his dominant hand, though?
He's quite a cumbersome puppet, as it were. But I say cumbersome, he's very clever, but to get that big reach, it's a two-person. He's the only two-person puppet we have.
Yeah.
But Ash, one of the other actors, he's the voice of Mr. Tickle. But I get off a little lightly as far as puppets, but Walter's almost constantly on telling the story.
Mm.
It's the other guys who are swapping and changing and doing four different characters and things like that. So that's we've got two Emilys.
Oh,
there we go.
Well, that's easy though.
This is true. But Emily Vidicum and Emily Watkins. M is Watkins and Emily Vidicum. This is how I will now refer to them from the future reference. But M is the likes of Little Miss Chatterbox, Mr. Funny, Mr. Strong, because gender, stuff that. And Emily is the likes of Little Miss Naughty, Little Miss Princess, Little Miss Splendid, she loves doing that one. And Ash is Bump, Tickle, and Mr. Small in particular. Definitely missed out. We've got lots of different characters.
I was going to say, it was especially the finale, when it hit how many characters, because you go behind and you pick up the next puppet and you're like, there's so many puppets. And,
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's 16 separate puppets.
That's crazy.
Mm. And you have to look after them all.
Yes. No, there are babies, basically, for the tour. There's lots of stuff that the actors, of course, don't really know what's going on in order to make the magic happen. Mm. But they are... beyond the show itself, our main priority.
Yeah.
So how are they kept during the show? Are they all on little sort of hat stand thingies?
So yes, they each have their individually made stands, which look a little bit like mic stands, but with a sort of...
puppet mounted on it.
Yes, basically. And then they are kept safe and sound in...
Yes.
And because they're all made of very lovely, bright felt material, and so they are kept safe and sound and wrapped away and between each show.
Yeah.
And any outings you might see is in the mile. So either at the cow, they'll wake up at 11 a.m. and we get them to the cow and off we go at Underbelly. And then occasionally you might see us walking through town.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I bet you get quite a lot of attention when you do that.
Oh, massive. Yeah. Like, the kids in particular, they hound, they swarm, and it's cool, it's lovely, in the sense of, it's always that thing with puppets, isn't it? The kids are always fascinated by these little creatures who, for them, I suppose, are alive. I mean, they must be aware to some extent that the person holding them is also doing something, and we don't hide that.
Yeah.
We're very much the Avenue Q style of puppetry as well, because our puppetry director, Nigel Plaskett, has worked with Avenue Q and Cellar Door Tour. He's done The Muppets, Labyrinth, Muppets Christmas Carol in particular, and Spitting Image.
That's
so, but that's it. It's very much that school of puppetry. Though.
Yeah.
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 Are the kids allowed to touch the puppets, especially on the mile and stuff? Do you have to be careful about?
If it's very no. I mean, the usual answer is no.
Yeah.
Just because we need to keep it clean, we need to keep it going. But at the same time, there are ways of interacting with the puppets quite fun that aren't touching.
Yeah.
So we found lots of different ways. So Walter's a very good one for sort of like doing the nom-nom-nom-nom quite close and that kind of thing, because he's got a very interactive mouth. Whereas a couple of them are quite good at doing the little sneaky hide and pop around and that kind of thing. It's just finding ways of doing that, but they've got to last for 10 months.
They do, yeah.
So, and beyond.
So, what's it been like sort of bringing such well known characters to the stage?
Very interesting, because of course it is well known, and they've stretched from the 70s. I mean, the first book is Mr. Tickle, and that is from 1971, I think, if I've got it right. And of course, the Hargreaves Estate has lasted quite some time, it's still around, and each character has particular. Well, there's the rights. There's the rights, and they've got a particular way of presenting that as a brand. So putting it on stage, there was this really interesting process, and our writer and director. So writer is James Corrigan, and director is Krista Harris, and together it's sort of in the room along with our brilliant company stage manager Tamsin Cook. We all sort of worked together collaboratively to figure out a script, figure out what these puppets could do, figure out exactly what they're, but also work with James in particular as the sort of, what should I call it? The sort of the translator between what the characters are expected to be versus what we can make them do on stage. And particularly to make it translatable for kids.
Yeah.
And what you kind of see now is the fruits of that effort. But yes, bringing them to life, and there's lots of different animated versions. There are the old versions, which I think Simon Callow did the narration from, where he's just doing the voices and things like that. So there was a lot of leeway in weird ways, because there was a precedent for having fun with them.
Yeah.
And sort of we played around with different things and different elements, or we refined what we came with and that kind of thing, until eventually we had six very separate, as in distinctly separate, hence the characteristics, characters to play with and hopefully get kids enjoying the show with.
So the structure of the play is a series of short stories. I don't remember the books. I think it's been probably 15 years since I read them.
Sure.
Are they lifted out of the story?
Not quite.
No.
But it's lovely that you say sort of you sort of remember the stories. This is the thing, sort of across the generational thing. A lot of the kids have been introduced to the brand new Mr. Men because they're still coming out. Walter got his first book, for instance, in 2018. So very.
Oh,
but he's been in, I think, every book. Even if it's sort of like a Where's Walter kind of moment.
Yeah.
But it's... So the structure itself is we have four main stories in which four of our favourite characters, arguably, have their moment in the spotlight, and Walter facilitates that. And then in between, we've got these little windows which we've called interstitials. Fancy word. Interstitials.
Interstitials.
Yeah. It's the word we were using. Whether it's right, who knows? And it's... And those are actually separate stories to do with other characters, but they're a little bit snappier, a little bit shorter, more of a here's a little vignette into what happens in Happyland every day. And those are sort of separate narration as well, and Walter always comes back in and sort of ties it back. Because the premise is, you meet Walter on a certain day, Walter tells you about what happened the day before, until eventually time catches up with us at the very last moment, which we won't reveal.
Do you change the name of the day, depending on what day it is? Do you change what day it is? So today you said Saturday, and it's Saturday today.
Ah!
Or is it always Saturday?
Oh, I see. You're referring to Emily's little bit where she was like, oh, it is very good for her. Yes, we do. It's a very set script, like we say, because, you know, it needs to be. Mm-hmm. But there are moments which we like to make sure we can apply, so it's particularly relevant to whatever audience happens to be in front of us. So, for instance, Walter picks a few people out occasionally, and it's usually I have to sort of scope out who's wearing the interesting top.
I was wondering how you were doing that.
I choose my times.
We have to find Walter. Walter says, "Can you see where I am?" And we were like, "No," but you were talking about the audience, and I was like, "How can you see us? We can't see you."
Nah. And all the children there going,
which is lovely to hear, actually, because of course I can never see that, ironically.
So you've started your run at the Edinburgh Fringe. Mm-hmm. How's it been going?
It's going really, really well.
Yeah.
I think this Fringe, it suffered a little bit from the weather to start with.
Oh my goodness.
But the audiences have been so lovely and so exuberant. We've sort of had some very nice numbers, and also doing it in the Cow in George Square is lovely.
Yeah.
And certainly during the day and the morning and later, it's very family friendly, so there's a lovely atmosphere. And it's been really nice with the Underbelly lot, and it's quite a lovely community. And we kick everything off every day at 11 a.m. Okay. We are the first show. And so it's always, I mean, everything's laid out beforehand, it's all there, it's all very lovely composite part of being this big thing, and the folks have just been lovely. Afterwards, I mean, I literally, as I was walking through to meet you guys, I just overheard a girl going, "Mr. Tickle!" And like hearing the dad go, "Oh, did you enjoy that bit?" It's like, yeah, we love Mr. Tickle. Everyone's got their favourite bit, and Tickle's always popular. But but it's been lovely, even when we come out to greet, because we have a little moment at the end of the show where we come out into George Square and say goodbye to everyone, just two characters usually at a time, and they want pictures, which is all welcome, and really lovely to chat with them afterwards.
Are there challenges you find with performing a children's show? Because obviously, of course, you're going to get interruptions, lots of crying, laughing, kind of, how do you kind of manage to keep going with things like that?
Well, to be honest, it's almost welcome. Because this is kids' theatre, and yes, we're very lucky because we're also the Mr. Men. So we've got adults coming and enjoying it as well, because it's a nostalgia, and we hope we've threaded enough to get everyone excited about it, even the parents and older.
There's a couple of adult jokes, not you know, dirty adult jokes, but
absolutely
there's a couple
not.
Of bits for the parents.
Yeah, we were chuckling a lot.
There we go. We need a little bit of a nod.
Yeah.
But by and large, it's kids' theatre. So actually, any reaction's a lovely reaction.
Yeah.
And of course, if kids are crying, that's often nothing to do with the show. That's just how they feel that day, and they're allowed to feel that way.
Yeah.
So with screaming and that kind of thing, meh. Particularly since overhearing it on stage, not that hard. And parents know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They can sort it.
It's a really lovely, relaxed atmosphere.
No, this isn't it.
Also, there's some really funny moments. We were just saying earlier how when Mr. Happy comes out and he says, "Oh, show us all your smiles," there's a couple of kids screaming in that bit of silence, which was just, it was very funny.
This was it. This was sort of the, our director, Chris Harris, was sort of gesturing at, in the sense that there needs to be interactive and there needs to be playing with the audience, but it isn't a panto. It isn't always like, "Oh, is she there?" That kind of thing. There might be a splash of it. There might be a moment. But it's really the sort of feeling and ethos of Mr. Men is storytelling.
Yeah.
So it's really lots of stories, lots of characters, but of course it's kids' stuff, so of course you want to sort of like go, "Hello, hello, how are you? Hello, welcome to Happy Land," that kind of thing. And I think it treads the line very nicely.
But you can tell that those children are listening, because there's a moment where you ask the children to warn you if Little Miss Naughty comes behind you, and to be honest, She appeared and I missed it. But they were straight on it like, oh, she's there, she's there.
Yeah.
And the, you can just see that they're paying attention.
Basically every day. It's lovely because actually kids are very chain reaction in this, in how they interact with the world and each other. And if a couple remember, all it takes is them saying, look behind you. And then within seconds, everyone's on it because they remember the game. There are, I mean, obviously there are always occasions when you're like, you might need a nudge, but by and large, it is that a kid's attention span is actually, I know this sounds strange, but in theatre anyway, certainly, is a little bit more even than an adult's.
Yeah.
Because we might get absorbed in something very different or just not care. Whereas if something fun and bright is happening, chances are kids are on it.
Yeah. Is there any moments that particularly stand out to you, any funny sort of...
Or something that maybe got a reaction that you weren't expecting when you were rehearsing it?
Oh, you see, that's interesting, because our audiences are always very different. I think that is the nature of kids. So some days we're always surprised by something different and new. I think it's the nature of all these different characters. The very different thing, and the very thing that surprises you, is the characters who are the favourite of the day.
Okay.
So, like... for instance, most people love Tickle, or they love Happy. We see so much merchandise on kids with Mr. Happy or Little Miss Sunshine or whatever, the big bright happy ones. Or Little Miss Chatterbox, often the favourite of like adults. but there was one day when Little Miss Splendid was the absolute favourite. They loved the moment. Little Miss Splendid, I won't reveal too much, but she has this moment where she's looking for the perfect hat, and people just loved it because I love Em's voice when she does that. And I think in one particular day though, they were like, "Yes, Little Miss Splendid, get that hat."
Yeah, I really liked that bit when she walked off. I said, "I think that's my favourite."
Yeah,
bit.
you actually did say
that's
that.
That's so weird.
I think as well, like that's not the most adult little skit in between, but certainly is something that makes the adults chuckle. Here's a fellow Mr. Menner.
We're just being joined by Em.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you, So, do you want to just... We're just
going to... Have the chat, really.
Chat, yeah.
Great, okay,
so do you
want to
just introduce yourself, just so I know a bit about you?
Sure. So, my name's Em, or Emily Watkins. I'm in the cast of Mr. Menner and Little Miss with Richard. I'm from Cheltenham. I've been in London for the last few years, trained in London Studio Centre. And yeah, I've done quite a lot of children's theatre stuff over the last few years. And yeah, now I'm on tour with Mr. Men and here in Edinburgh.
Who do you play?
I play four different characters. So I play Little Miss Sunshine.
Do the voices.
Little Miss Sunshine. Little Miss Chatterbox, who's like from the West Country for some reason. Mr. Strong, who's that gruff kind of London geezer. And then Mr. Funny, who is kind of just... bizarre and mental. He just speaks like this all the time. So yeah, four different people, all very, very different.
Did you get to make those decisions about the voices?
Kind of.
We were saying, I was saying earlier, like we came with ideas, and then with Krista and Tamara and James, we sort of refined it. And
yeah, it was really nice to have quite free rein in terms of what we could do with the characters, which was nice because the script and things had to be quite specific in terms of, because obviously it's a well-known brand and stories that everyone knows really well, so it had to be quite specific. But we were given quite free rein on what we wanted to do character-wise and voice-wise and stuff, so that was really nice to be able to play around a bit, and we kind of workshopped what would work for each character.
I did really like the West Country. Oh, that was really funny.
Did you watch the show today?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
No, it was really brilliant. I loved it. We were just saying, so where you came in, was any sort of funny stories or... moments that have stayed with you?
So the things that surprised us maybe as well from rehearsal to stage.
Rehearsal to stage.
So I was just saying, sometimes it's a surprise who's the favourite character for the day, because like some people remember that day that like Splendid was the favourite for.
And I think characters that you think will be really fun to play, like ones that you. Like when I was given Mr. Funny and I was like, oh, I don't know what on earth I'm going to do with that. But then it's actually maybe turned out to be my favourite one to play. I think things that you kind of, surprise you about, fun things that you get to play around with as well, and ideas that you think, oh, maybe I'll just do that and yeah, sort of pushing out of your comfort zone, but then going, oh, I actually really enjoy doing that. That's really fun. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I love your Mr. Funny. I don't love the moment when I have to take him over for a split second and I cannot do the voice.
I'm entirely sure what his voice is, to be honest. But
this is it.
Funny moments. Sorry, yeah.
So did you feel you had to adapt anything, or did you feel like you were, when you first opened, you were like, oh, okay, we need to refine this or need to adapt this because it's getting a different reaction than we expected?
I think there've just been a couple of moments of helping with the games, you know, yeah. Like the call and response stuff needed maybe a little bit more exposition or whatever.
Yeah, more specific direction, because I think it's quite interesting having in rehearsal room, obviously we had a room full of adults laughing at certain jokes and obviously knowing exactly what to do when we say join in and do this, and then suddenly when they're 3-year-olds the laughs, A, come in different, completely different places. Yeah. We were like, oh, that's funny. Okay, didn't know that. Sure. Like you jumping up behind the book.
Oh, they love it.
They love that. Yeah. And we've never...
To be fair, we love that.
Oh, my goodness, that was the funniest bit.
Oh, really? See,
obviously, it's all funny. It's all funny, but I love that.
Yeah, I mean, that didn't ever get a laugh in the rehearsal room, did it? And then other bits that we all, in quite an adult sense of humour, thought, oh, that's really funny, and then have never got a laugh because it's not really kid-friendly funny.
Yeah, you might get a titter from mum and dad.
But not sort of laugh that loud kid humour. So that's been interesting, but not that we've had to change how we do it, but just kind of like, oh, that's different to what we thought.
Absolutely. And it's just getting the set and getting in the place and getting all that kind of thing. Because when just thinking of that moment of Walter jumping up and being seen, I was doing it for the majority of our rehearsals. We sort of had a makeshift mirror as the fake flat.
Yeah.
So it all adds, doesn't it? As soon as those bright colours are in and everything, it becomes more part and parcel of what's funny and what's not.
Definitely.
Just wondering, what was the audition process like for kind of coming onto a show like this? Were you expected to kind of do voices, or what kind of, how did it work?
So the first round was do a song of your choice, sort of children of family appropriate song, and then a speech, short speech of your choice.
It was a little story, wasn't it?
A story or speech. And then, so I suppose that just shows a bit of your personality, as it were. And then the recall was sort of a bit of puppetry stuff, some exercises, and kind of a bit of a chat. I think they were really keen to get a bunch of people that they thought would work well together, because it is quite a long tour and it's quite it's quite intense being at the Fringe and stuff. So I think they wanted I think that was a big part of the rehearsal process, but we didn't really do sort of different character work and stuff until we got into the room, did we?
I think the story they wanted, they did want, and they played a little bit with a few folks of getting what are you like as a storyteller, maybe with different voices, maybe with different things. And I sang King of the Jungle, King of the Swingers, beg your pardon, from Jungle Book, and just got like, they was like, make it big. So
I think they wanted to see sort of big characters and being playful, and I think that was a lot of it, wasn't it?
They also, in the final audition, they asked the soul searching question of which Mr. Men do you think you are?
Yes.
Or Little Miss indeed.
Well, mine's a bit cringe, but I was the last in the line, and so everyone was using up all the good ones, and I was like, oh no.
Or the interesting ones that could prove that you've done your research into Mr. Men and Little Miss.
So I said I have my Mr. Bump moments, which I definitely do, but then I was like, oh no, but obviously not on stage, I'm very coordinated, holding really expensive puppets, I'm fine with. And then I said something cringe like Little Miss friendly or friends or something like that, because they said we can make one up. What did you say?
I said, well, actually I have my cousin to thank for this, because she automatically said, like, you are this one. I was like, what? And it's Mr. Topsy Turvy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a little bit niche for some folks, but he's the one that does everything in his own way and everything slightly backwards and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, thanks.
How many Mr. Men and Little Miss Misses are there?
Oh, how
there's
I wish we
lot.
Had the books.
Have you got the books?
I didn't bring them with me.
We were looking at them the other day, and there's more than you think.
Because
also,
no, not quite.
About 50 of each, I would say.
Well, on the back of the books, the Mr. Men come on.
And I remember as a child going, oh, there's a new one, because you'd see on the back of the books.
Yeah, and there's quite a few new ones that have come out like since I was a child that I didn't know of. So Little Miss Inventor, who's in the show, I don't remember as a child, and she's quite a new addition, I think.
I want to say 17.
Again, done your research.
We were chatting about it, because we were like, we don't know that one. Where's she from?
There's a lot, isn't
there? They've introduced Doctor Who into it as well now, haven't they?
Oh, really? Yeah. And apparently there's a Spice Girls one. Yes, there is. No way. Spice Girls,
So there's, I mean, there are the set characters, and I think a number like 38-ish, 39-ish men, Mr. Men, are in my head, and I think the little misses are slightly less.
Slightly fewer, yeah.
Fewer.
Is there one that you wish was in the show that isn't?
Sure, it might have been fun to do someone like Mr. Noisy or Mr. Bounce or someone who's, but I think we've got some really nice big characters
already.
Yeah,
you've got a good selection. So were they part of the script already, or was that in the room? You said that it was a collaborative process.
The
characters were sort of defined, and the script was a script, but we sort of then from there workshopped that and changed bits, but it was a sort of not a shell, but like there was a structure there that we then played with, but we didn't sort of make up who the characters were or anything like that. That was all sort of done before.
When you were auditioning, was it four actors and the characters were split up for the actors, or was that sort of trial and error in the rehearsal room
Well? That was just trial and error in the rehearsal room, wasn't it?
I remember we did the first read through with like the director Krista. She had a sort of vague idea who she wanted to maybe try out, and then the very next day she was like, right, we're gonna maybe try this, and it was basically the same, and then I think there were only just one or two little swaps here and there,
and I think mainly those swaps were kind of making it work script wise, because obviously with only four of us and I think there's 15 characters, quite a lot there's a sort of, oh well, they have a conversation so you can't be both of those, so let's give that to that person, and it was sort of more of a logistical thing rather than
making the puppets work effectively.
Yeah, yeah. Making it all work as a...
Because I tell these guys, like, I've the same system as Avenue Q, but of course, the nature of the size of the Mr. Men and what shapes they are, as much as you can hold to have them interact with each other is...
Tricky.
It's not quite believable.
Like Mr. Tickle for that,
basically.
Really.
Exactly.
Because they're trigger mechanism puppets as well, so it's you literally have to get your wrist round and make the mouths work.
I was wondering how the mouths
work. There's a sort of little loop inside that you pull with your
finger. Do your fingers hurt?
Yes.
Do they?
I do.
These guys, it's their fingers. Me, it's more my wrist, because Walter's mainly a hand puppet.
Yeah. It's sort of, it's your fingers and sort of your thumb and your hand, it's sort of just you using your hand in a way, it's just all the weight goes in quite a specific place, the sort of in between your thumb and your forefinger, which doesn't ever really get used very much. They are quite heavy. I think we've got used to them, but at first we were
folks are heavier than others.
Yeah.
So some characters are very
heavy. Of the ones with the big hair or the sort of hats and stuff are quite heavy, yeah. Certain ones that after a while you definitely feel it.
It's gonna be dench by the end of it.
Yeah, exactly.
In a really specific way as well.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Yes. Just one huge bicep and really strong fingers.
Yeah, you are gonna have like a bicep in your webbing.
Yeah, yeah.
So where are you going next?
Oh, we are going on tour. Yes. So we start in Ilfracombe in Devon.
Wow.
Celador is now there. Am I right? That's one of their venues now?
Yeah, I believe so.
So we've got a little bit of time to reset and reevaluate a couple of things before off we go.
Yeah, and then we sort of go all over the UK, really, up to Scotland again, and in Wales for a bit, and literally everywhere in between, and then we do some international stuff as well. So we get to go to Singapore and Hong Kong. And
not Nottingham at the moment, Henry. I know, I'm really sorry. But no.
But yeah, it's kind of quite sort of all over the shop, isn't
Absolutely.
It?
Are you going to Peterborough?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, because that's just opened, hasn't it?
Yes.
That's where I'm from.
Oh, great. Yeah, we definitely are going there. Yeah.
Of course, because Nigel, our puppetry director, was at the opening for it.
He
swanned into a rehearsal having come from Peterborough one day.
Yeah.
Not much to show up about.
Well, new theatre, why not?
Yes, it is very exciting that we get to go all over the place with it.
And roughly, how long does that last?
The tour. Yeah. It goes from the end of September to the end of April. So,
oh, wow. So
about 7 months. Yeah. Wow. It's quite a long old stint.
Yeah. And we're sort of booking places even now in the sense of we're not 100% sure where we are, but in some places. But we're assured we'll be all over the place.
Do you think the show will have a very different reaction internationally? if that's something kind of you're preparing.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, there's quite a few people here today that I don't think were, like, native English speakers.
Yeah.
Well, this is, I mean, it's the nature of the fringe.
Yeah, the fringe is very international, isn't it?
But it's interesting actually seeing the amount of French speakers that come, and so you sort of see.
Yeah, there were some French speakers behind us.
Because you get like Monsieur Le Bonheur and Monsieur Bomp and Monsieur Chatterie and that kind of thing. And I have occasionally heard a little French child sort of like, Monsieur Bonheur!
Yeah, I think what's great about the Mr. Men is because it's such a well-known brand all over the world, and because the show, because of the puppets, is so bright and colourful and visual, it's hopefully, if we're doing it right, you don't, obviously the dialogue is important, but you can kind of get a sense of what's going on with all the big action and the storytelling and the puppets and stuff. So I hope that it's sort of still going to be really well received all around the world. And I know, especially in sort of Singapore and Hong Kong and stuff, there's quite a desire for English-speaking children's theatre. So I'm hoping that it will still... But we haven't sort of thought too much about that yet, because it's a while... Yeah.
There is a bit of that.
It will be really interesting, for sure, to see... But lovely that it's like a brand that is so recognised all over the world. And even if, I think for the children, a lot of it is just seeing those characters and meeting them afterwards and getting a photo and stuff. Those things are still so exciting, aren't they? So,
absolutely.
Yeah, we'll see you definitely.
Yeah, should we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us. And good luck with the rest of the Fringe and the tour and everything. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode.
If you're a first-time listener, then we've got plenty of other episodes for you to go back to. Please give us a nice review and tell your friends and family where to find us.
See you soon. Bye. Bye.